105, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Stand back from the door!
You're afraid I'll run away?
A visitor. Inside. I will knock when your time is up, old man.
I heard you counting.
I was walking. I imagined a walk we used to take in London. Lucy and... Father, how is she?
Knowing I see you, she's happier. Please sit down.
I imagined our little house in Soho. As I walked, I saw the streets and the trees and...
I know. I have done it, my boy, for... Well, for a long time I did it.
Is Lucy well?
She's as well as we can expect. She will be well when you're out of here.
I'm afraid that may be a long time. We heard they killed the king.
Yes, and his wife. In the name of liberty, they say, of equality, fraternity, death.
I am put from time to time amongst the other prisoners. I see them waiting, hoping, and then the hope dying. Then their day and their number, and the next morning there is more space at the table, more room by the window. You have a letter from my wife?
I am not allowed to bring one. I have messages of love.
Tell them I love them. Live for them. Tell them I truly believe you will free me. Have you heard the latest cure for grey hair?
No.
La guillotine. Also excellent for headaches, they say. There is common jesting about being shaved by the national razor. They say whoever kisses la guillotine sneezes into a sack. They say.
Oh, hush, now, hush. I've brought you food and a bottle of wine.
They let you?
A suitable gift for the jailer, and he's friendly enough.
Outside! Stand back from the door, prisoner everyone.
We're ready. Now, my boy, believe in me.
I do. You will be here again soon.
You'll be free soon. Now, give me a kiss for dear Lucy. And a kiss for the child. Farewell.
The year one of liberty, and the deluge rising from below, not falling from above, with the windows of heaven shut, not opened. The executioner showed the head of the king to the crowd, and now, after 8 months of weary widowhood, the head of his fair wife turned grey. The terror and its engine sheared off heads that the ground beneath was polluted, rotten red. Through all these terrors, Dr. Manette walked and talked and never doubted he would save Lucy's husband. A year and 3 months he lay confined, and still the doctor believed. The lines of dead, roped together, found in rivers in the south, prisoners shot in squares in dusty towns, and still the doctor walked through the prisons, working to save a life here, a life there, easing one and another to a kinder death, a man apart. Not suspected, nor brought to question. He told Lucy where she might walk from time to time, and her husband might catch a glimpse of her from a certain window at that time. It was a cruel time.
Stealing unseen to West with this disgrace. Even so my sun one early morn did shine, with all triumphant splendor on my brow. But out of luck, it was but 1 hour mine.
Lucy, please, go on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lorry. I don't seem able to, I'm sorry.
She's tired, Mr. Lorry. We've had a busy day of it. And I can tell you I'll be glad never to see another froggy as long as I live, sir.
Miss Pross, there are good and bad everywhere, surely.
Oh, not here. I was only saying to your man, Jerry, Mr. Cruncher, this very morning, what I'd give for a look at the Thames and the streets round our little corner in Golden Square. Oh, what I wouldn't give to go into the market and hear good English voices calling and shouting. He agreed with me.
He is missing Mrs. Cruncher.
Yes, well, be that as it may, he's worried about his work.
His work? He is being paid, Miss Pross.
Oh, he has other business, I think. Oh, he's very close, is Mr. Cruncher. I can't abide prying, and I don't, I assure you, pry, nor never have, but... Oh, time spent here is time ill spent.
We'll go as soon as Giles is free. My father is sure of it. I am sure of it. So, it will not be long, Pross, dear, surely?
No. No, not long.
Good night, dear Pross.
Good night, my precious.
Good night, Mr. Lorry.
Good night, my dear. Yeah, I must go home. It's not safe to be on the street too late, even with Jerry as a guardian angel.
It won't do. It will not do, Mr. Lorry. I assure you it will not do.
I beg your pardon?
Free him. Free him soon. They're a murdering mob, want nothing better than to take his head.
Oh, Miss Pross.
You think I don't see? You think Mr. Cruncher and I don't know? He goes from time to time. Mr. Cruncher goes to the square and watches. He comes back fuming angry. Waste, he mutters. Waste to take their heads off, he says. When we see them in their carts, timbrels, whatever.
Tumbrils?
Yes, well, see them jolting through the streets, filled with lovely girls. Bright women, brown-haired, black-haired, grey, young men, old men, common and gentle-born. You know what they call them, Mr. Lorry? They say, red wine for la guillotine. It's true.
I know. I do know.
You think my precious don't know? Near enough a year and a half now. Oh, her father says nothing can happen to him without my knowledge. He believes it. And she tries to. She puts his book out every evening and the chair by the fire and a pipe and glass ready for him for when he comes out of the prison. Oh, she's cheating herself, Mr. Lorry. And I am afraid for her.
I think we are all afraid for her, dear Pross.
You're sure, Father?
Sometimes Charles can get near the upper window I showed you at 3 in the afternoon. Now, if he can get there, sometimes he'll not be able. He might see you in the street.
If I stand in that place you showed me?
Yes, but you'll not be able to see him, my poor child. And even if you could, it would be unsafe to make a sign of recognition, you understand.
Show me the place again and I will go there every day. And every day from that time, in all weathers, I stand for 2 hours. As the clock strikes 2. For 2 hours.
Good day, Citizen F.
At the end of the dark and dirty street where I stand is the hovel of a cutter of wood. Good day, Citizen.
Walking here again, Citizeness?
As you see, Citizen.
But it's not my business. And the child.
Yes, my child.
It's not my business. My work. It's my business. See my saw, little one? I call it my little guillotine. And off his head comes. I call myself the Samson of the firewood guillotine. See? Again, off her head comes. And a little one, a child. Tickle, 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 and off his head comes. All the family. But it's not my business.
Charles saw her once in 4 or 5 times. Her father told her, and it made it worthwhile. She was always afraid of the woodcutter, but pressed a little money in his hand, and he left her to her own devices. Until one day in December, when the snow was lightly falling, and a throng of people came pouring round the corner by the prison wall. He was there, hand in hand with La Vengeance. the woodmen and 500 or more, like 5,000 or more demons. The men and women danced together, the women danced together and the men together. A mere storm at first of coarse red caps and coarse woolen rags. And then they began to dance around Lucy, cowering in the street.
Kill, kill the Arizona! Kill, kill the
advance, retreat, spun around and around, hands linked, chains of them dancing till they dropped. And then again, dancing, they struck and clawed, clutched and tore, and as suddenly, swooped, screaming off.
Oh, Lucy, my child.
Oh, Father, what have I seen? Such a cruel bath.
I know, my dear. I've seen it many times, and don't be frightened. Not one of them would harm you.
I'm not frightened for myself, Father. When I think of Charles, and of the mercies of these people.
Now look, look towards the window. There's no one to see you. Now kiss your hand towards it. He will see you.
Oh, if only I could see him.
Good afternoon, citizeness.
Good afternoon, Madame de Flache. I was walking with my father.
Yes. To be sure, walking with your father. Good day, citizeness.
Lucy.
Oh, she's so... Oh, I'm afraid of her, Father.
There's no need. The time has come.
Father?
Tomorrow.
What tomorrow?
The tribunal. He's summoned for tomorrow. I've heard it from... Well, no matter where from. Now, we need to go home. I need to prepare, to be sure. You're not afraid.
I trust you.
Will you take more wine, Mr. Carton?
Thank you, no, Mr. Lorry.
I cannot tell you what a surprise it has been to see you here.
To be honest, Mr. Lorry, I miss my Sunday evenings. How do they do in this dreadful place?
Oh, the doctor does all he can to keep her spirits high. He sees Charles daily in the prison. He works to bring his trial forward.
It seems Charles Darnay's life revolves around trials, Mr. Lorry.
At least in England he had a judge and jury and defense. Here, well, it is an affront to justice. The tribunal send men, women, and children to their deaths as easily as you take snuff.
I have observed them already.
Why did you come to Paris?
I told you, sir, I was bored in London. Dull, no Sunday evenings with old friends. No sight of the little child. I am fond, as you know very well, Mr. Lorry.
Yes. Yes, I know, Mr. Carton.
She is not to know I am here, if you please.
As you wish.
Thank you. So, tomorrow, the tribunal.
Shall you be there?
Oh, I shall be there.
This is what they call a court, eh? No bailey this. A ragbag of men and women in red hats and dirty coats. Like as if the populace of half the prisons in London was coming to be judge and jury. Another then for the blade. Snap your fingers and there's another cent. Such a waste of goods as I never saw. A corner of the market has set a man up for his life. Be hardship of matching any cadaver, I grant you. I swear, they've sent so many down they hardly ever look up. They laugh a lot at the miserable wretches who come blinking up into the light from their cells. The men are armed. The women eat and drink and knit as often as not. Hey, there's that woman who's come to see Miss Lucy and knitting away at a gabin with her husband. Defarge, it was. Yeah. And nearby him, Dr. Manette, a popular man for the doctoring he's done for half the stinking mob here. And alongside him is Mr. Lorry, looking... Well, as you'd expect a man of his years to look in such a place.
Charles Evremond called Darnay.
Evremond!
Enemy of the people!
Enemy of the Republic!
You are Charles Evremond.
I am.
You are accused of being an emigrant. Your life is forfeit.
under the decree that banished all emigrants on pain of death.
That decree was made...
No matter to us when the date was put to the decree. You stand there. The decree lies on this table. Your head shall drop into the bath.
You have lived many years in England.
Yes. I gave up voluntarily a title that was distasteful to me, a position that was distasteful to me, and left before the present use of the word emigrant was in use. I went to live by my own industry in England rather than on the industry of the overladen people of France.
Oh. Proof?
Two witnesses, Théophile Gabelle and Alexandre Manette.
You are married in England?
True, but not to an Englishwoman. To a citizeness of France.
By birth?
Yes.
Her name and family?
Lucie Manette, only daughter of Dr. Manette, the good physician who sits here in this tribunal.
They like the old man for his kindness, and plenty here have good reason. They're a turning two out there now. He might even miss the blade like he slipped the rope.
Why did you return to France?
I was asked to. Begged to. By my first witness. You have his letter before you. Théophile Gabelle needed my help to get out of prison. I came to save him, sir, and to bear my testimony to his innocence. To the truth. Is that criminal in the eyes of the Republic?
Gabelle is here.
Here?
Yes, he is there. And he tells the tribunal what he wants to hear. If the stinking dogs on the benches or anything to go by. And then the doctor stands before him and, well, no doubt he says things that soothe even the savages around me.
Charles Darnay was my first friend after coming out of the prison of the Bastille. The accused has remained in England and devoted himself to me, and later to my daughter. No friend of the aristocrat government there, he was tried for his life by it. Tried as a foe of England and friend of the United States, who have been so warm in their friendship to the Republic. This man is a gentleman who gave up land and rents and released men and women of debts they could never pay. A man, in short, of the people!
This trial in England...
I have another witness to it, sir, Monsieur Lorry, an English gentleman here present with me. He can corroborate what I have told you.
Jury, you have to decide.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Look at them all. One minute they want to shed blood, the next they're shedding tears of joy. He's buried there under fraternal embraces from men and women who gladly locked his head off 5 minutes ago. I believe the next to stand in his place will have a short time of it on his earth. They'll make up for one freed on the next poor devil. Lift a finger in the prison. Sign for death. Long live the Republic.
I'll go ahead and warn Lucy to expect... You were superb, my friend. And you are kind.
Lucy, my own...
I have prayed, dearest Charles, how I have prayed.
I am safe.
Let me thank God on my knees for it.
And we all bowed our heads and hearts for a moment, and then she was in his arms again.
Dearest, no other man in all France could have done what your father has done for me.
Hush, now it is done. He's saved. You'll need all your strength now, child.
And outside in the street, the shadows of the wintry afternoon were beginning to fall. A shadow passed over Lucy as she stood in his arms, as if...
As if in hearing the dreadful carts rolling through the streets, she heard echoes and saw shadows of her dear husband among the condemned. Waiting by the door to shed a tear on her precious, Miss Pross was dressed to go out to purchase the few things this frugal family needed for their evening meal. Miss Pross and Mr. Cruncher discharged the office of purveyors, the former carrying the money, the latter the basket.
Now, Mr. Cruncher, if you are ready, I am.
At your service, Miss P. Now, don't forget the wine, Miss Pross. We have something to celebrate. You will stay for the evening, Mr. Lorry.
Oh, thank you. I had hoped to be asked.
Miss Pross, Mr. Lorry will be staying.
Very well. Very well indeed. Cheese, Mr. Cruncher.
Cheese.
Wine, Mr. Cruncher.
Wine.
And bread, Mr. Cruncher.
Bread.
Pray be cautious.
Yes, yes, I'll be cautious. I tell Mr. Cruncher here, you can look about any street here and in any shop and see them sup with the devil nightly. Midnight murder and mischief. But I may say among ourselves that I do hope there will be no oniony and tobacco-y smotherings in the form of embraces all round going on in the streets.
Oh, Miss Pross, should there be, don't look.
I do not look, sir. They force themselves under the eye of anyone passing. Now, Ladybird, never you stir from that fire till I come back. Take care of that dear husband you have recovered, and don't move your pretty head from his shoulder as you have it now until I see you again. May I ask a question, Dr. Manette, before I go?
I think you may take that liberty.
Oh, for gracious sake, don't talk about liberty. We have quite enough of that. The long and the short of it is that I am a subject of His Most Gracious Majesty, King George the Third. And as such, my maxim is confound their politics, frustrate their knavish tricks. On him our hopes we fix.
God save the king.
Why, Mr. Cruncher, sir, I am glad, sir, you're that much of an Englishman, even if you do have that cold in your voice. My question, Dr. Manette, is, is there any prospect yet of our getting out of this place?
I fear not yet. It would be dangerous for Charles to leave yet.
Oh, well, no matter. We must have patience and wait, that's all. We must hold up our heads and fight low, as my dear brother Solomon used to say. Now then, Mr. Cruncher, cheese, wine, bread. Oh, come along, sir.
I left for the bank, leaving Lucy, her husband, her father, and the child by the bright fire. Little Lucy held her grandfather's hand as he began to tell her of a great and powerful fairy who had opened a prison wall and let out a captive. I left them very peaceful.
And the walls fell around the people, and outside was light. And the poor men and ladies inside the prison walked out into the light.
There, Lucy. Father, what's that noise outside?
No, it's nothing, nothing, my dear. I think she's a little overwrought, Charles.
Perhaps you should lie down.
No, I heard. There's someone on the stair. I heard them.
And not the staircase. It's as still as death.
Oh, no, Father. Hide, Charles. Hide yourself. Father, save him.
My child, I have saved him. I'll go to the door now. Don't give way, child. Yes?
The citizen Evremond called down, eh?
Who wants him?
I want him. We want him. He's in there, isn't he?
You can't walk
this
into...
This is state business, old man.
Lucy, hush now. What is it?
I know you. I was at the tribunal. Evremond, you are again a prisoner of the Republic.
Oh, no, Father, no!
Why am I taken again?
You're taken straight to the conciergerie. You are now old Tamara. You are summer full Tamara.
Do you know me?
Yes, I know you, citizen doctor.
We all know you, citizen.
Will you answer his question to me? Why is he taken again?
He is accused by Saint Antoine.
That's enough, citizen.
Of what?
Ask no more. If the Republic demands sacrifices from you without doubt, as a good patriot, you will make them. The Republic goes before all. The people is supreme. Every man, we are pressed.
But who denounced him? Tell me.
It is against the rule.
It's against the rule. But he is denounced. And gravely.
Who by?
By the citizen and citizeness Defarge.
Huh?
And by one other.
What other?
Do you ask, Citizen Doctor?
Yes, who?
You will be answered tomorrow. Now you, come with us.
Mr. Lorry, sir, I have heard in the streets, in the wine shops, the word is out. Darnay released and retaken in one day?
I dare not think.
I will find out what I can. Our secret for the moment, Mr. Lorry, if you please.
The wine, Mr. Cruncher? The wine?
Will I buy it or you, Miss Pross?
I will buy it. To see dear Lucy's face alive again, a light. Oh, darling. To have her husband home again. The red, I think. The dark wine, I think.
Home? Not home, is it? Nor likely. I tell you, Miss P, I miss it, you know. The Bailey and the Fleet, the River of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet places, the graveyards and such. I miss it all. I want to go home, that's the truth.
Well, God works in mysterious ways, Mr. Cruncher.
Oh, don't you start a-flopping and a-praying round me, Miss Pross. I couldn't bear it. Remind me too much of my dear wife. No doubt flopping this very instant. Miss Pross, you listening? It was a wine shop with smoky lights and smoky people with pipes in their mouths playing limp cards and yellow dominoes. Two or three customers asleep over the table in the corner. And sitting, hidden almost in the corner beyond them, a man. No sooner does Pross see him than she screams out a name.
Solomon! Oh, after not setting eyes upon you for so long, do I find you here?
Do you want to be the death of me?
Oh, brother, have I ever been so hard that you ask me such a cruel question?
Then hold your meddlesome tongue.
Mr. Cruncher... This is my dear brother, Solomon, Mr. Cruncher.
Outside. You've seen a ghost, have you, Cruncher?
She could hardly see for her tears. And me? Well, ghosts I never believed in till then.
It's all a mistake, of course. Back soon. Now... What do you want?
How dreadfully unkind in a brother.
If you expect me to be surprised, I am not. I knew you were here. I know of most people who are here. I am an official.
My dear brother, that had the making of a great Englishman to be an official here amongst foreigners. And such foreigners.
Mr. Solomon, on the tip of my tongue it is.
Said so. I knew it. I shall be rendered suspected by my own sister, just as I am getting on.
I know you. I know you. You was a spy, witness at the Bailey.
Oh.
What in the name of the father of lies was you called at that time?
Barsad.
That's the name for £1,000. Well, Mr. Carton, and
it is, Mr. Carton. How do you do, sir?
Miss Paul?
I was just talking to my brother, Solomon.
Hold your tongue, woman.
I want a little talk with your brother.
Oh, Solomon. He's a good and kind brother, Mr. Carton, I assure you. Hard done by in this world.
I wish you had a better employed brother than Mr. Barsad, Miss Pross. I wish for your sake Mr. Barsad was not a sheep of the prisons.
Oh, a spy again, is he? Nothing changes, Mr. Carton. Spy over the water and informer the same here.
I don't know you, sir.
In the Bailey. In the trial of my friend, Darnay. You lied him almost to the gallows.
Oh, no.
Now do you remember?
In hell.
Here I lighted on you coming out of the prison of the conciergerie, while I was contemplating its walls an hour or more ago. I remember faces.
My bad luck.
Perhaps. I listened to your conversation with your admirers in the wine shop and shaped what I had done at random into a purpose, Mr. Barsad.
What purpose?
That could be troublesome. Might be dangerous to explain in the street. In confidence, the office of Tellson's Bank...
I told you, sister, if any trouble comes of this, it is your doing.
Come, Mr. Barsad.
Oh, Solomon, please listen to Mr. Carton.
I'll go with you. And you, hold your tongue.
A remarkable face, Mr. Barsad. Pray sit down, sir. A witness at that trial, Mr. Lorry. in the Bailey, where we all met. Mr. Barsad was recognized by Miss Pross as the affectionate brother you have heard of, Mr. Lorry.
Well, indeed I have, and know him to be no such thing. But, Carton, what has this to do with Charles Darnay?
Mr. Barsad is the best authority possible, sir. I happen to hear a conversation between him and a friend, a brother sheep, over a bottle of wine. Now, Charles is taken to the conciergerie. There's no doubt about that, is there, Barsad?
No doubt.
I own I am shaken, Mr. Lorry, by Dr. Manette not having had the power to prevent this arrest.
He may not have known beforehand.
Well, the stake I have resolved to play for, in case of the worst, is a friend in the conciergerie. And the friend I propose to myself to win is Mr. Barsad.
You'll need good cards then, sir.
Barsad, sheep of the prisons, emissary of Republican committees, now turnkey, now prisoner.
True.
Always spy and secret informer, represents himself an Englishman under a false name. That's a very good card, Barsad. Now in the employ of the Republican French government, was formerly in the employ of the aristocratic English government, enemy of France and freedom. That's an excellent card, Mr. Barsad.
I admit nothing.
Inference is clear. Barsad is in the pay of the aristocratic English government, is the spy of Pitt, the treacherous foe of the Republic, crouching in its bosom. English traitor, an agent of all mischief, so much spoken of, so difficult to find. Not a card to be beaten. Have you followed my hand, Mr. Barsad?
Not to understand your play.
I play my ace. Denunciation of Mr. Barsad to the nearest section committee. Well, look over your hand, Mr. Barsad. See what you have. Don't hurry.
Mr. Lorry, sir, this gentleman is no spy. And why should he demean himself to make himself one?
I play my ace, Mr. Barsad, without any scruple in a very few minutes.
I should have hoped, gentlemen both, that your respect for my sister...
I could not better testify my respect for your sister than by finally relieving her of her brother. Another card. That friend you spoke to, who was he?
French. You don't know him.
French? I know his face. He is not French. Spoke well, but like a foreigner.
Provincial?
No, foreign. Cly. That's the name.
Cly?
I assure you he is dead. I attended him in his last illness, buried at the Church of Old St. Pancras in the fields. His unpopularity with the blackguard mob prevented my following his remains, but I helped lay him in his coffin. I have here, as it happens in my pocketbook, a certificate of Cly's burial. No forgery, see?
Here, give it here.
Jerry, stand back, Jerry.
I'll not be stood back, Mr. Lorry, sir. That there Roger Cly, you put him in his coffin.
I did.
So... who took him out of it?
What do you mean?
You buried paving stones and earth in that there coffin. Don't go and tell me that you buried Cly. It was a taking. Me and two more knows it.
How can you know it?
What's that to you, Icod? With your shape on it, positions of a tradesman, I'd cut hold of your throat and choke you.
Hey, Mr. Cruncher, Mr. Cruncher, let him alone.
I wish you would explain yourself. Mr. Cruncher, if you please.
The present time is ill-convenient for explaining. What I stand to... is that he knows well that that there Cly was never in that there coffin.
Another card, Mr. Barsad. Another aristocratic spy in communication with you. A strong card. A guillotine card. Do you play?
I confess. But how this man knows is a wonder of wonders.
Never you trouble your head about this man. You'll have trouble enough with giving your attention to that gentleman.
You are a turnkey at the conciergerie.
Sometimes.
You can be when you choose.
I can pass in and out as I choose.
Good. Very well. Mr. Barsad, we will have one final word alone.
But...
alone, Mr. Sheep.
Cruncher. Jerry Cruncher, you come here.
But, sir, I beg...
No. Think. Before you answer me, I'm very much afraid that you have used the respectable and great house of Tilson's as a blind, Jerry. That you had an unlawful occupation of an infamous character.
Oh, Mr. Lorry. Well, you see, it was in the nature of having a agricultural character.
Jerry Cruncher!
There'd be two sides to it, if it was so. There might be medical doctors at the present hour picking up their guineas, where an honest tradesman didn't pick up his farthings. Farthings.
Jerry?
And here's Mrs. Cruncher. Leastways was in old England and will be tomorrow. A-flopping again the business to that degree as is ruinated, so stark ruinated. What with undertakers and parish clerks and what with sextons and private watchmen and all avaricious and all in it.
Don't prevaricate.
No, I will not, sir. On that stool at Tilson's Bank, set that boy of mine. Let that boy keep his father's place and take care of his mother. Don't blow up on that boy's father. Let that father go into the line of regular digging and make amends for what he would have undug. I offer that, Mr. Lorry, sir. A man don't see all this era going on dreadful around him. Subjects without heads, dear me. And plentiful enough to bring the price down to porterage and all of that. Entreating you to bear in mind what I say just now. In a good cause, when I might have kept it back.
Well, that is true, at least. I'll say no more now. I may yet stand your friend. I want action, and no more words.
Mr. Lorry, Mr. Barsad is leaving us now. Good night, Barsad. Keep to our arrangement, and you have nothing to fear from me.
Very well, Mr. Carton, sir. I'll stick to it. I have no option. Good night, Mr. Lorry.
Good night.
I'll see you about, sir.
Well?
I have access to him in the prison.
That will hardly save him. I feel... I'm too old, Carton.
No. No, 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 please. You are a good man and a true friend. I could not see my father weep and sit by careless. And I could not respect your sorrow more if he were my father. You're free from that misfortune, however.
I thought less of you than you deserve. I owe you, I think, my apologies.
Don't tell Lucy of this interview or this arrangement. Now, don't speak to her of me. As I said when I first came, I had better not see her. I can help her without that. You are going to her tonight, I hope. She must be very desolate.
I go directly.
How does she look?
Anxious, of course. Unhappy. But very beautiful. I think I understand. We all care for her, my boy.
You were leaving Paris before all this.
I have done all I came to do here. I hoped to leave. Yes, I have my pass. I was ready to go.
Yours is a long life to look back upon, sir.
I am in my 78th year, yes.
Useful, trusted, respected and looked up to all your life.
A man of business ever since I have been a man. Indeed, I may say that I was a man of business when a boy.
If you could say with truth to your own solitary heart, I have secured to myself the love and attachments, the gratitude or respect of no human creature. I have won myself a tender place in no regard. I have done nothing, good or serviceable, to be remembered by. Your 78 years would be 78 heavy curses, would they not?
I think they would be, yes.
Yes. I would like to ask you, does your childhood seem far off, long ago?
As I draw closer to the end of my life, I travel in a circle. Does it seem odd to you? I come nearer and nearer to the beginning. My heart is touched now by many memories that had fallen asleep long ago. My mother, so young and pretty. You must forgive an old man.
Oh, I understand. I am not old, but my young way was never the way to age. Enough. I must prowl the streets.
Well, you may stay here. There's food and a fire, drink if you want it.
No, no, thank you. I shall go to the court tomorrow as one of the crowd. My spy will see to that. There is nothing to do until tomorrow, and I can't sleep, so I bid you good night, sir.
It was not a reckless manner in which he said those words. It was the settled manner of a tired man who had wandered and struggled and got lost. It was the manner of a man who has seen the way at last and sees also its end. I remember my mother used to remind me, even as a child, I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die.